So, just a few details about Lord Balaram, first, about the appearance of Lord Balaram. And this is actually from the Krishna book we're going to read. The section of the second chapter of the Krishna book, which is, of course, translated and commentary by when Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna, known as Ananta, appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed both with jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the fearful condition of the Yadus due to the atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of his Yogamaya, or his internal potency. The Lord thus informed Yogamaya, under the imprisonment of Kamsa, or Devaki and Vasudeva, at the present moment, my plenary expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange the transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. On account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he would be known as Sankarshan and would be the source of all spiritual power or bala by which one could be able to attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion, Ananta, would be known after his appearance as Sankarshana or Balarama. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both of them were under the spell of Yogamaya. When this was done, people understood that Devaki's seventh pregnancy was a miscarriage. Thus, although Balaram appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. Okay? So those are some of the details. Now we'll speak a little bit about philosophy. I mean, who is Balaram anyway? Balaram, of course, is the brother of Krishna. So who is Balaram ontologically in relationship to Krishna? Ontologically means, you know, what is his position? Well, this is nicely explained in the Brahma Sangita. Advaita Chuta Nari Radanta Rupam Adyam Purana Prasham Navayovanam Cha. Yeah, it says that the Supreme Lord is one, Advaita Achyuta, he's infallible, but he also has unlimited forms, unlimited manifestations. So, the point is that Balaram is the same as Krishna. There's no difference, except it's Krishna exhibiting himself in a different mood. And when Krishna exhibits himself in a different mood, it's different than us, who can just exhibit ourselves in different moods, is that Krishna can do all these things simultaneously. In other words, all the incarnations can manifest their particular pastimes, or all the expansions can manifest their pastimes simultaneously. There's different types of expansions that Krishna has. I mean, there's Prabhava, Vilas, Prakash, and Prabhava, Prakash. I mean, there's the one type of expansion is where Krishna Krishna appears as himself, and he appears in various forms, like in the Rasa dance. Another type of expansion is when Krishna expands himself, and it's his various, Chaturvyuha expansions, like Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Arjuna, and Aniruddha. Of course, Krishna is the original Vasudeva, and Balaram is the original Sankarshan. So there's actually, just like we have this expression, portions of plenary portions. Of course, plenary means on the same plane. So the original expansion, Krishna and Balaram, that's plenary expansion. And then portions of plenary expansions are the various other avatars like Korma and Matsya, Varaha, and Lord Nrisimhadeva. That's portions of plenary portions. And of course, in the Bhagavatam, we're given a whole list of different incarnations. And at the end it says, Ete Changsa Palakpumsa Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. The Krishna is actually the original source of all the incarnations. And there's many injunctions like that, like in the Gita, of course, Krishna says, you know, Aham Adirhi Devanam, I'm the source of the demigods. He also says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhuvo, I'm the source of everything, basically. And also Arjuna says about Krishna in the 10th chapter, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavicham, Paramam Bhavam, that you are the supreme Brahman, you are the supreme abode. So there's many, many verses that indicate this, that Krishna is actually the source of all incarnations. And Krishna, of course, the general category for Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's expansions, is called Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means God, basically. And we are called Jiva Tattva, or another name is Vibhinangsa. This, like Prabhupada uses these two words, Swangsa. Swangsa. Angsa means like expansion, but his own. Swa means own, and Angsa means, you know, expansion. Swangsa, that means Vishnu Tattva. Vibhinangsa means separated. We are separated, but actually one and different from Krishna simultaneously, because we have the same nature. Anyway, so this is a little ontological explanation. Now, Balaram, being the first expansion of Krishna, he actually, all the other incarnations, expansions, come from Balaram. And not only that, but Balaram is actually the original servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a description that Balaram serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of his Brahman thread, in the form of his staff, in the form of his seat, in the form of the temple. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained, that one who cleanses the temple, it's the same thing as bathing or cleansing the deity. So one may question, you know, what is this, the temple, the deity? But actually, the temple is considered an expansion of Balaram. So Balaram assists the Supreme Personality of Godhead in, of course, his pastimes, which we'll explain in a second, but also in the worship, when we find the worship, like in Brahman thread, that's also another, considered an expansion of Balaram. So Balaram is continually serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is his mood. Of course, Balaram has the Sakya Ras in relationship to the Lord. Sakya Ras means basically friendship. Just like there's many devotees in the Sakya Ras, like Sudam, Sridam, like this Madhu Mangal, different varieties and different mixed humors, that is the indirect rasas mixing with the direct rasas in the Sakya Ras. But Balaram is the original person in the Sakya Ras, whereas Radharani is the original person in the Madhurya Ras. And they're all serving Krishna. And Yashoda Devi is the original person in the parental relationship. Everybody understands that? Very, very interesting. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So, Balaram, he appears, of course, when Krishna appears, let's go back a little bit. When Krishna appears, he appears with his associates and expansions. He never comes alone. Like Prabhupada would sometimes speak about the picture of Krishna who is floating in the outer space, you know, surrounded by the Om. And Prabhupada said, Krishna was not like that. Krishna is always with his associates, entourage, just like you see the President of the United States. You know, he flies in his Air Force One, and he flies not only with his associates and entourage, but all the press department is there with him, you know, asking him questions. So it's a, you know, an important person doesn't usually go alone. I mean, there's exceptions to that, of course. When Lord Rama, he wanted to hear what the citizens were thinking about him, he snuck out and went alone. But as far as when they incarnate or come down to the earth, they always come down with their associates. Sometimes in their pastimes, they sneak around and do things that apparently are alone, like I mentioned, Lord Ram. But they appear in this earth, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared with the Panchatattva, and also Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, in addition, all the devotees, not just the Panchatattva, not just the four associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Shivas, but all these, like, thousands or millions of devotees who appear with the Lord. So, when Krishna appears in his various incarnations, his brother always appears with him. And that's why you had Lord Ram with Lakshman, and you have, of course, Krishna and Balaram, and all these various, and Lord Chaitanya, of course, and Lord Nityananda. So Balaram, of course, appears as Krishna's elder brother, and there's a whole story behind that that originates in the Ramayana. Originally, you would actually think, you know, Krishna's going to expand. He should have his expansion as his younger brothers, you know, that subordinate to him. You know, that makes sense. And that's the way it originally was. When Lord Ram appeared, Lakshman was younger brother. But Lakshman got pretty upset at his elder brother. Those days, there was etiquette. And if your elder brother said something, you had to listen. Even today in India, in some places, you know, Jesh Bratashri, that's how they say. That means the elder brother. If he says something, you really have to listen. I mean, just like, there's no question, you know, should I or shouldn't I? It was almost like when Prabhupada was on the planet, you know, Prabhupada's disciples really listened to him. You know, Prabhupada said something. It wasn't a question, you know, mental platform, should I or shouldn't I? So it was something. It's something like that in the Vedic culture. There's a very strict hierarchical understanding. Everyone understands that. What I mean by hierarchical? Hierarchical means you have, someone over someone over someone over someone, and you listen to them. There's no question about it. Nowadays it's a little different. You know, I got a letter from a disciple. They asking me a question. And I said, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm not going to answer your question or give you advice because you're not going to do what I say anyway. And they got real upset, and they said, what did they say? Give me an example. And I said, forget it. Anyway, so that's a lack of culture. You know, of course, you know, in the Indian culture, someone has position because they're actually worthy of that position too. So, anyway. So, and you'll find in many parts of India, people won't join the Hare Krishna movement because their parents or elder brother says, you know, you can't do it. And there's no question, you know, we've got to listen to my parents or elder brother. Like that. So in the pastimes of Lord Ram, you have Lord Ram saying things to Lakshman or telling Lakshman to do things that Lakshman really couldn't relate to. Like, you know, they fought this whole war to get Sita back. And then Lord Ram, after they fought the war, said, no, you're free now. You can do whatever you want to Sita. Can you imagine that? I mean, just like you rescue your wife and after all this endeavor, kill millions of demons, and your wife is under the Ashok tree, you know, she's crying at a separation from you, and then finally she comes and you say, now you're free. You go wherever you want. You know, that's painful. Anyway, but then, I mean, I understand the purpose of the pastime. It was Mayasita that came out, and Lord Ram wanted Mayasita to enter again into the fire so the real Sita could be brought out by Agnidev. But still, from, you know, the external vision, it's really painful. And Lakshman, because Lakshman was under Yogamaya, Yogamaya is very interesting because it bewilders Krishna and his incarnations as well. She bewilders, sorry, not it. She bewilders Krishna's incarnations just as much as she bewilders the pure devotees there. And Krishna voluntarily submits to her influence so he can enjoy his pastimes. So Lakshman didn't know the whole story behind everything. And he was ready to oppose Lord Ram. He's ready to say, you know, this is it. But then Lord Ram said, you know, this, I'm your elder brother. Gotta listen to me. How can you doubt me? And so, of course, Lakshman did it, and there was a good result. It's not always a good result when you put people in fire, but in this particular juncture, there was a pretty good result because the real Sita came out. And then Lakshman, later on, was told by Lord Ram to drop Sita off in the forest near the ashram of Valmiki Muni. You know, after they'd gone through all that trouble, and, you know, Sita was so chaste. She never even... Anyway, obviously, she was expansion of Radharani. I mean, she never thought of anyone else other than Ram. You know, but later on, Shastri was proven that she was able to fly over this whole lake without touching the water, the Shibishagara Lake. So, and Lakshman understood all this. And still Ram, listening to the rantings and ravings of the washerman, who, you know, rejected his wife because his wife, you know, went out and I don't know what she did, but anyway, she came back a little late that night. And so Ram just said to Lakshman, you know, just drop her off in the forest near the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And Lakshman was thinking, whew. I mean, it was such a painful experience for Lakshman being the brother of Ram. Because it's described when he drove to the forest to drop her off. He said to her, you know, now you have to get off. And she thought they were just going for like a picnic that day. She was pregnant too. Actually, the word they use is an old English word, enciente, which means she's has a child in the womb. It's an interesting word. Most of you don't know what that word means. Now you do. So, and Lakshman couldn't even look back. You know, he just like collapsed in the chariot, was crying. I mean, it's not that he just said, you know, get out of here, Sita, you know, that's it, you know. He had a heart. You know, Lakshman was a very soft-hearted person, very devoted to his brother. I mean, he didn't eat the whole time he was in the forest for like 14 years because Lord Ram never told him to eat. I mean, that's complete devotion. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't even tell people not to eat for half a day, what to speak of 14 years, you know, they have trouble. So Lakshman was just like so bereft. Oh my God. And so he asked a benediction from Lord Rama, and the benediction was that I'll never take birth again or never appear as your younger brother. So I don't have to listen to your instructions anymore. So as a result, Balaram was the elder brother. But interestingly enough, Krishna didn't listen to Balaram, even though Balaram was the elder brother. Which is really funny because there's all these stories that Prabhupada tells, I mean, from the Krishna book, how Balaram was arranging Subhadra's marriage with Duryodhana. Because Balaram, anyway, this is a pastime. As I said, you know, don't blame Balaram. This is a pastime. He actually was the martial arts instructor for Duryodhana. And Duryodhana actually, you know, they became buddies. Duryodhana knew how to, you know, how to make people buddies. It's described when Duryodhana was in charge of the kingdom, he distributed all the wealth of the kingdom just to get all the citizens on his side. You know, practically the kingdom was bereft of money because, you know, he was just passing it out to everybody. Just like modern day politicians before an election. Especially in India, you know, there's so many road works and wells that are dug right before the election, and then after the election nothing happens. So Duryodhana, he was expert like that. So Balaram was actually favoring Duryodhana, and he wanted to arrange a marriage with Subhadra, his sister. And then Krishna came, you know, knowingly disobeying the desire of his brother. Maybe his brother didn't tell him not to do it. I mean, what is it called? Not following the spirit of the law, but it's following the letter of the law. So Krishna came, and he just arranged for Arjuna to kidnap her. He told Arjuna, he was the one, it was his idea that Arjuna would dress as a sannyasi. It wasn't Arjuna's idea. Krishna has all these tricky ideas. He told Arjuna, you dress as a sannyasi, come to Balaram's home, and you just see, you know, if you're interested in her. So he came, and the story's there in Krishna book, there's a nice picture too. He came, he was sitting, taking dinner, and he was making eyes at Subhadra. And he kidnapped her. And Balaram was so angry, he called for all the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty, you know, we're going to teach Arjuna a lesson, maybe kill him or something like that. And then Krishna just got down, you know, basically on his hands and knees or whatever, and said, you know, oh, you should be happy that Subhadra is actually getting married to this, to Arjuna. And Balaram just was frustrated, you know. There's Krishna goes again, you know. And in also many instances, you know, Krishna really, I wouldn't say opposed Balaram, but he definitely didn't act in accordance with Balaram's desires. I mean, like that fight between Bhimsen and Duryodhana at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. I mean, they were fighting fair in the beginning. Fair means you don't hit someone below the belt in a club fight. You just don't do that. But Bhimsen couldn't win because Duryodhana had this invulnerability that was given to him by his mother, Gandhari, who looked at, you know, she looked at him and whatever part of the body she saw would become invulnerable. And it was Krishna, of course, who arranged that Duryodhana wore a little gumsha or something around his midriff, because he said to Duryodhana when he was going to see his mother that, you know, how could you go see your mother naked? It's not proper, even though his mother had told him to see him naked. So, you know, Krishna just like sticks his nose in and does all these tricky things throughout the whole battle of Kurukshetra. And so Duryodhana was vulnerable in the middle and invulnerable over the rest of his body. Something like Achilles' heel in the Greek mythology. You know, he was invulnerable and then finally he got hit by an arrow in the heel and then he died. So but Bhimsen was fighting fair. It's not that he was doing anything unfair, but it was Krishna who told him to fight unfair. You understand? It wasn't Bhimsen's fault. Don't blame him for that. Bhimsen was just hitting, you know, above the belt, like here, 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 and there. So that's pretty bad too. But then Krishna just like slapped his own thigh and said, Bhimsen, here, hit him, here, here, here. You know, he gave him emotion like that. You know, so people say, saying, you know, following Krishna, because, you know, Krishna's God, you're supposed to listen to him. That God's orders supersede all the ordinary, you know, rituals, at least the rules for fighting wrestling matches or club matches. So what happened is that Bhimsen hit him below the belt. And when he hit him below the belt, he broke his thigh, he was lying there. And Balaram came and said, all right, you want to fight unfair? Well, here I am. Fight me. And then Krishna had to intercede again. And Krishna said, you know, look at what he did. You know, it's all right, just leave him alone. Balaram just went away. This Krishna. Like that. You know, so you do find, it's interesting, even though there's the etiquette, the Balaram's the older brother, there's a higher etiquette that when you're the source of all the incarnations, all the incarnations have to listen to you. So that's really what happened in those particular pastimes. So anyway, so that's why Balaram is the older brother, although Krishna doesn't listen to him anyway. And there's other instances too. So here's some other stories about Balaram. Actually, Balaram and Krishna were given their names at the same time by Garga Muni, and Balaram appeared 8 days before Krishna, and Balaram was in the womb for 14 months. 14 months, and Balaram, similar to the story about Radharani, he didn't actually open his eyes until he saw Krishna. It's a very similar story. Because, you know, you have the story about Radharani. Radharani appeared and she was blind. And Narada Muni said to Vrishabhana, you know, perform the ceremony anyway. There's a ceremony you perform, you know, like that. And Vrishabhana was thinking, but she's blind. And Narada Muni said, that's right, go ahead. Everything will be taken care of. So what happened is that when he was performing the ceremony, of course, they invited all the other residents of Braj there. And Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj came, and little baby Krishna came, and they both were on the same lap, and when she smelled the fragrance of Krishna, she opened her eyes for the first time that she was able to see. But Radharani was born blind. Now, Balaram wasn't born blind, but he didn't open his eyes until he saw Krishna. So that is the great devotion that Balaram has for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they had the name-giving ceremony on the same day. Now, as far as his other stories told in the Bhagavatam, like a Balaram's marriage, once upon a time, this is an interesting story, there was a personality named Revata, who lived in the ocean, and he had 100 sons. His oldest son was named Kukudmi, and Kukudmi's daughter was named Revati. So Kukudmi was looking for a suitable husband for Revati. So he was going all over with her. And fortunately, he was traveling with her, or else he would have gotten too old to get married. Anyway, so, because as he went to the higher planets, the story's in the Bhagavatam, as he went to the higher planets, you know, the time experience or how time influences the body differs when you go to the higher planets. In other words, time actually, like, expands. And, you know, if they look at us, we're moving real fast. Like, if you take a movie or a video and you just put it on, like, super speed or something, you know, so the higher you go, the faster we move. Anyway, so sahasra yuga pariyantam. Just like we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and 1,000 ages taken together. 1,000 ages is 1,000 divya yugas, 4,300,000 years. So, anyway, so Kukudmi went with Revati to see Lord Brahma, because he thought, you know, Lord Brahma's the original progenitor in the universe, and, you know, he's definitely knows how to arrange good marriages. So he went to Lord Brahma at Brahmaloka to find a husband, you know, thinking he can't find anyone else qualified. And so Lord Brahma, in the meantime, was in a musical performance. And so he waited in the outside room while Lord Brahma was going to the musical performance, because they have nice music there. And Lord Brahma came out, and he said, "Lord Brahma, I'm looking for a nice boy for my daughter. Do you have a boy for her?" And Lord Brahma started laughing and laughing when he heard this. He said, "Look, 27 chatur-yugas have passed since you've been here. 27 chatur-yugas means the divya-yugas, you know, the 4,300,000 years times 27. And no one's going to even remember you, your daughter, or anybody. You know, your history, or not even history. You know, just nobody's going to remember you. But you're very fortunate, because there's a nice boy on earth, and if you really get out of here quickly, it won't be too late. Balaram is now on earth." So they rushed down to earth. They left Lord Brahma's abode immediately, because if they had waited another second, it would have been the end of Balaram and Krishna's pastimes. So they rushed down to the earth planet, and she married Balaram. And Kukudmi retired, being very happy that his daughter had a nice husband. So that's Balaram's marriage. Interesting story. This is all from the Bhagavatam. Balaram is generally depicted as having a plow. Well, the interesting thing is that in the original pastimes, before Balaram leaves Vrindavan, he doesn't have a plow. When he comes back to visit Vrindavan, he carries a plow with him. But when he's before Krishna and Balaram leave, which some acharyas say is at 13, other acharyas say is 16 years of age, Balaram doesn't have a plow. He actually has a buffalo horn instead of a plow. And Krishna, of course, has his flute. So he gets his plow when he leaves. And that plow was used many, many times. Of course, when Balaram came back, he dragged the Jamuna when she refused to cooperate with him when he was drunk with the Varuni beverage. Actually, I got a letter from one disciple in Central America yesterday. He said, you know, we heard Balaram likes the Varuni beverage and the devotees also like the Varuni beverage, but it's intoxicating. What are we supposed to do about that? And how do we make the Varuni beverage? He was asking. And I said, well, the devotees, when they have the beverage, they just make honey, a honey drink, you know. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's not, you can get intoxicated on honey. That's all right. In the old days in ISKCON, we used to have honey competitions on Balaram's appearance day. Who can drink the most honey? And I used to sit at a table and put it under me, you know, pour it in the ground, so I would win. So, anyway, so anyway, Balaram had his plow. Other times he used the plow too, like when the Pandavas were given Indraprastha. He actually used the plow to plow the land and make it very nice and fertile. Because Indraprastha at that particular point was a little bit distant from Delhi. Actually, Delhi and Indraprastha are the same. But it was a little bit different, distant from Hastinapur. And it was a desert. Like you see now, if you go a little bit towards Rajasthan, it's actually desert. So it was a desert area, you know, very, very dry area. But Balaram went in and he plowed the whole area and turned it into a very fertile area. And later across, of course, the Devan Maya Dhanava constructed this big assembly house for the Pandavas, where land appeared like water, water appeared like land, and that's where Duryodhana had some problems, and everyone laughed at him. So anyway, so Balaram uses his plow throughout different pastimes. Another story about Balaram is when Krishna, there's this place called Brahmananda Ghat, which is in Braj. Brahmananda means the bliss of Brahman. So the reason it's called that is that one day around this ghat, around this water area, Krishna was eating clay, or at least, or dirt, or something like that. And it appears that Balaram went and told Mother Yashoda about it. And Mother Yashoda asked Krishna, "Are you eating clay?" And Krishna said, "Balaram is always trying to get me in trouble." You see the exchange or interplay between the two brothers. You know, sometimes brothers try to get each other in trouble. I don't know if any of you had brothers or sisters. But they, you know, they do that. You know, that's sort of like a pastime between between siblings. So Balaram, you know, wanted to see the fun. So he told Mother Yashoda that, and then Krishna said, "If you actually think I've been eating dirt, you know, at least some must be stuck on my teeth, you know, or in the mouth. Just look in my mouth." And then she looks in his mouth, and then she sees, you know, all the universes and everything, and she even sees herself like that, and she becomes like completely amazed. And then she starts to pray to the Supreme Personality of God, and Krishna doesn't like to hear prayers of awe and reverence by his mother. He likes it better when he's chastised by his mother. And so he pulls Yogamaya over her consciousness again, so she just thinks of him as her little son. So this took place in Brahmananda Ghat, and to this day, the devotees go to this place in Vrindavan, and they take the dirt or the clay and they eat it. It's very sweet. I actually have a piece of that clay. I think I still have it, unless people ate it already. Yeah. But it's actually very sweet. It's a wonderful place, and there's deities there of Radha and Krishna in the on our Braj Mandal Parikrama. We saw that. So that's one story. Another story that illustrates that Balaram is sometimes under the Yogamaya potency was when Lord Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys. Lord Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys because he just wanted to see a little fun. And after a year, you know, which was one moment of his time, he thought, "Well, maybe I made a big mistake. Let me see what I can do about it." But right before then, the calves and the cows, of course, Krishna expanded as the calves and the cowherd boys, so the parents really didn't notice that their kid had been missing. In fact, it's described in the Krishna book that they felt more affection for their children because their children were actually expansions of Krishna. So Balaram, another thing that happened is that the cows were on top of the hill with their new calves, and the older calves, who were actually expansions of Krishna, were at the bottom of the hill, and the cows neglected their new calves to run after the older calves, which is highly unusual. You don't see that at all. And they ran down the hill, you know, their milk bags full, you know, just like running. Anyone ever seen a cow run, you know? They gallop sometimes or do all sorts of interesting things. So they ran down the hill, and Balaram was thinking, you know, what is happening here? You know, this is highly unusual. The cows are going after their older calves, and, you know, people are getting more affectionate. I think Krishna's done something, you know. What's happened? So the reason, just a few more minutes, The reason Balaram didn't know what was happening, because that was his birthday when Lord Brahma stole the calves and the cows. The calves and the coward boys. That was his birthday, so he wasn't out there with them on that day. So that shows that Balaram actually was in Yogamaya. He didn't even understand what was happening. You know, he started guessing what was happening. So this is quite interesting, considering the fact that Balaram is the same as Krishna. Isn't that? So how can you know what you're doing and not know what you're doing simultaneously? Well, that's God. You know, it's just like, talk about split personality. But it's just like Krishna is so amazing that he can be in different moods and actually know absolutely that he expanded as the cows and as the calves and coward boys, and at the same time not be aware of it and be bewildered by the whole thing and be asking himself, what's happening? I mean, that's really amazing if you think about it. Krishna is asking himself. You understand? Krishna is as Balaram, who's non-different, Advaita, one, and he's asking himself, you know, what's up, Krishna? And so, anyway, so that's another story about Balaram. Now, Balaram killed two demons, at least the ones we know about. And these demons, of course, that's the jackass demon, Dainakasura, was one of the demons killed by Balaram. And what was the other one killed by Balaram? I forget right now. Well, Palambasura demon. There's a Palambasura and the Dainakasura demon. So, this Dainakasura represents, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the bad mentality of overburdened load carrying. In other words, another explanation of that is gross material knowledge. So we see that people, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very nice poem, Vidyara Vilasa, with which he says, you know, that basically taking the part of the conditioned soul, that when I was young I was overcome by this gross material knowledge and I became more foolish than an ass. He actually states this, you know, more foolish than an ass. So that's what material knowledge could sometimes do to you. If you take it seriously, you become more foolish. And we see sometimes even devotees get bewildered. They get so much into the material knowledge that they forget, you know, that Krishna is God. Even material knowledge like, you know, astrology and all that other stuff, that they forget. I was thinking about that this morning, that, you know, people have these horoscopes and that they forget that, you know, God can actually, you know, God means, you know, he's independent. He could change things. He can make you your good fortune. Like Prabhupada said, I've created your good fortune. Previously you had no good fortune. So we forget about the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness. So gross material knowledge, even gross material Vedic knowledge can cover one. Like the Brahmins, who when Krishna and his coward boys wanted some prasadam or food, they just said, you know, we got to do our sacrifice. You know, come back later, Krishna. You know, I don't care if you're hungry. Whereas the wise weren't covered up by that gross material knowledge. And what do they say? They said, you know, give it all to Krishna. The hell with our husbands. So, anyway, so gross material knowledge makes one as foolish as an ass. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually states this. And as far as Dainakasura, okay. No, it's time. Okay, we'll tell the story tonight. Anyway, there's so many stories I have about who Dainakasura was in his past life. He was a scholar at UNC. He got prasadam at the Sunday feast. Mahamantra distributed prasadam to him.